horrifying paint crystals. It was really weird.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our Marvel Netflix binge buddy, Mark Sherman, is back to talk about everyone's favorite PTSD anti-hero, The Punisher.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I'm gonna punish you.
And Molly Glover.
I'm gonna punish you too, like so hard.
And we are joined by our returning guest to talk about Marvel Netflix stuff, Mark Sherman.
Are we doing low voices today?
Well, not Molly.
But not Molly.
And, this is as low as it goes.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Marvel Netflix's Punisher show. We're gonna spoil the shit out of all 13 episodes if you haven't seen it yet. Beware. Go watch it and come back to this, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't care. Maybe you're like, whatever. I'm just gonna fucking listen to the episode. That's cool.
Yeah.
This is Marvel's sixth with Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Iron Fist, Defenders, and now Punisher.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's Marvel's sixth Netflix show, and it already he debuted in Daredevil. Season 2,
yep.
And he will be back for a second season.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So,
Jigsaw.
Yeah. So Frank Castle is the Punisher.
Do you mean Pete Castiglione? I don't remember there being a Frank Castle in this show.
Well, and that's how the
Frank
show...
Frank Castle's dead.
That's the show opens with him, with Frank, tying up the loose ends from him killing off the last of the gang that is responsible
for
it.
It's just a few months, right?
I think it's been a significant amount of time, although they're a little fuzzy on that because timelines are difficult.
Yeah.
Because if you specify anything, then someone can always say that you're wrong on the internet.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Even if you don't specify anything, they'll say you're wrong on the internet.
Also true.
Yeah.
But so, it's after the event, so...
It is.
We weren't sure where it was going to be set, but it's after. Mm-hmm.
Frank wraps up the killing who he believes is totally responsible for his family's death and resumes a kind of mundane existence of pain and loneliness as Pete
Castiglione, the world's angriest construction guy.
Yeah. Autistic hammerman.
Who apparently destroys buildings while other people are making them.
Yeah, that's his deal.
They're remodeling.
Yeah.
Although I feel like that job could have been done a little bit more efficiently with a power hammer.
I don't think
he cared.
I don't think he would have let them use it. Here's what I always think is fun. So there's the guys who are on the construction site that are rude to Frank Castle, Pete Castiglione, Frank Castiglione, and I've never understood the impetus of a group of dudes to gang up on the clearly troubled, quiet guy
who spends all day
just like going to town on things with sledgehammers
until his hands bleed.
Who shows up early? Who stays late? And they're like, "You're making us look bad." And they do everything other than call him like slurs. You know, really, like you can tell they want to, but they don't.
But unfortunately, he's white, so they don't have that
option. To be fair, they call him a retard a few times.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised they didn't drop the F one. Like I was expecting
to
see that.
Yeah.
Like,
but just before that, I feel like it's worth noting the last two people that Frank kills from the gang that he thinks is responsible for his family's death are both super comic influenced.
Yep.
There's the guy who's made it across the border into Mexico and he's celebrating and he's with his cartel family and they'll protect him.
Yeah.
And he's totally safe.
Yeah.
And Frank does that cross-border snipe.
Oh, yeah.
From, like, across the U.S. border.
Yeah.
Like, from
like
a mile away.
He's on U.S. soil a mile away. Yeah.
Which
very,
is...
Very wanted.
It's yeah, it's also very... it's almost right out of... not Welcome Back, Frank... No, the one where the sniper's hunting him and he snipes the sniper.
It was
anyway.
One of the Garth Ennis stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And another very Garth Ennis part was the other guy he killed, who he is strangling in a men's room, and the guy who walks into the men's room, like, it looks over and hears choking noises and assumes that there's, like, bathroom sex going on, and he's just like, ugh, and leaves in disgust.
Yeah, get a like, room.
That's so Garth Ennis. Like, it's just, it's, violence and sex in a comical way is...
Well, yeah, and can we talk about how this was clearly the sexiest of all the Marvel shows so far? I just rewatched that whole thing, and man, there's a lot of naked people boning down in this series.
Yeah, there's a lot of hot, angry sex that happens, for sure. Yeah,
Madani and Billy...
And Russo,
Russo have a whole
they,
lot
they
of,
have a lot of sex.
They have a lot of sex.
There's even
and they're both good-looking folks.
So my one of my favorite things in the wiki, because I was rereading the plot synopsis, and they say that when Russo, after Russo kills Stein, it says, this is, I'm going to read it word for word. Russo later, quote, consoles Madani and helps wash the blood off her body.
Yeah, with his dick.
Yeah, he consoles her real good.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Yeah. That's what they call it in the Marvel Universe these days.
Let me help you get over that by getting under me.
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
On me. And so,
mostly,
behind me.
Mostly on the broken ribs and things like that. Yeah. They don't help.
So, Castle tries to live an ordinary life, and that doesn't work out for him so well in a couple ways.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out for him because innocent construction worker guy gets roped into doing that heist with the other the jerk construction guys.
Yep.
And that kid drops his wallet and the gang is like, you're so fucking dead. Yeah. Like, what a mistake.
Yeah.
And then it also doesn't work out because we meet David Lieberman, who is Micro from the comics.
Who has information from Kandahar.
About how Frank is his family's death was an orchestrated part of a larger scheme.
And I think this is really telling about one of the things I love about the MCU is that they brought everybody into the current day and like, you know, like, so the Punisher is, you know, like 30, 40 years old, right? So it makes sense that he was in Afghanistan and not like Vietnam, like there have been before, or they didn't, and they didn't try to make him a 90s war vet. Like they update everything so well. And I think that this is a really good example of that. Like there was a bunch of weird secret fucking like black ops stuff going on. And it makes sense that there would have been a small band of dudes that, you know, murdered someone in the desert under a command.
Well, what also works about it is, you know, we've been in Afghanistan for so long that, I mean, that show is going to be relevant in 10 years. Because it still could have been Black Ops 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of, they really keep to a lot of the stuff that is in the comic Punisher Born, which takes place in Vietnam, but... Sure. It's Frank pre-Punisher. It's really, Frank was already the Punisher before he came home and before his family was killed.
Right.
It's just that, you know, he was able to come home and turn all that off. And when his family died, he went back to it. Like, the Punisher was fucking born in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I feel like they really make that clear in this as well.
I think that this something that this show does incredibly well, and I'm not a veteran, but I know a lot of veterans in my life and love a lot of them, and it seems like it does a really good job with showing what the issues are that face veterans when they come home. And life after deployment and how and also they cover like there's that guy who lies about being in Vietnam
stolen valor
so that he can be with the PTSD group and he can feel like he belongs to something and like it's
liberals
all just
trying to take away our guns
and it's all just shit he read and like it's so good and there's so much when that young kid Wilson when he snaps when he finds out that this guy he looked up to and idolized and whose ideologies he's been spewing his hate wasn't even in the shit. And he loses it and kills him. I think that's a really powerful moment for like how it feels to be betrayed like that by the people you come home to.
It's and that kid is trying to find his place and he thinks maybe his place is the support group, but it's not the support group.
Yep.
And he thinks maybe his place is with this guy.
This
handing
guy
out,
who's the outsider in the
handing
support
out
group.
Pamphlets, and it's not with that guy.
That guy's
and
a
so
liar.
Maybe my place is with Anvil. Like working for Billy Russo, killing people.
Yep. Oh, they won't hire me.
But then they reject him.
Because the guy, his old commander or whatever.
The guy from
the support group.
Not his old commander, but he used to be with, he was with Russo and Frank
just with Frank. Yeah. He does. Okay. But well, I don't know. I mean, he knows Russo.
I thought they were all together.
Maybe,
at one point.
Yeah.
They didn't serve. Yeah. They weren't part of the Black Ops. He wasn't part of the Black Ops team.
They all knew each other from the time.
But yeah, so this guy gets rejected and bounced around and rejected and rejected, and he ends up being a fucking bomber.
Well, and then he tries, and then he thinks maybe Karen Page will understand him, because Karen Page understood the Punisher.
Right.
And Karen Page was so sympathetic and understood that. So he goes to her and thinks, and then she doesn't. And it's like, this kid has nobody, like no one. Yeah. And so it's tragic.
And at the same time, you have to realize this kid pushes every one of these people away.
Yes. Yep.
You know, he pushes the group away. The group leader is working so fucking hard to get through to this kid.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, how much else can he do?
Yeah. When he sleeps in the hole.
And he comes in and he doesn't say don't sleep in a hole. He just says, here's what you need to do because this hole is for the wrong kind of terrain.
Yeah.
You know, and which I thought was a great moment, because it's clearly this character is like, I'm gonna work with you on the level that you're at, and he still couldn't reach this kid.
And they had they've done this before with Marvel, where like every time they could go with a trope, they kind of flip it and they don't go with the trope, which is great. And the dad could have easily been the Wilson's dad could have easily been a hard man, an abusive man who like wanted his kid to be in the military, and so he's super like be a man, and he's not. He's like, I love you, and I'm gonna hug you, and I'm sorry, and what can I do, and let's talk. And like, you can tell his dad didn't really want him to go in the military, maybe in the first place. It doesn't feel like they were a military family,
right?
So that's more the current American experience, I think, that a lot of people have, where it's like, as my brother did that, my brother just decided he wasn't gonna enlist, and my whole family was like, Jesus, okay. it was weird.
I gotta tell you, to me, almost the hardest point of that whole story is when you get to the point where they're in the basement and Frank is like, this is what you've done to your father. You know, and there is nothing you can do to stop it. You've just fucked over his life with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great, because you actually finally see that kid sort of realizing what damage he's done, because he's never going to realize the damage he's done to real people by killing him. Somehow that he's managed to justify.
Mm-hmm.
But when Castle breaks it down to, no, this is what you did to your father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does love his dad.
Yeah.
He does. Like, he's not that far gone.
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, I mean, the kid was a great foil for Frank and a lot of the things that he was doing. I mean, he was the dark mirror of Frank, who's already a pretty fucking dark mirror.
Yeah.
But there's a very thin line between the actions and motivations of Wilson and Frank. And there's not really what I would say is a nobility to what Frank is doing, but there's
honor in a way, like a weird code.
He's making atonement for something, whereas the other kid is lashing out.
The kid, Punisher, he's hurting people that are bad. This kid is hurting people indiscriminately.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're both fucked up. And they both are suffering from PTSD, and they're both not dealing with it in healthy ways. Like, they're both violent psychopaths or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, one of them is well acted by Barenthal and is a psychopath that you can care about somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, you know, an indiscriminate bomber, the Punisher shoots his victims and targets them, and it seems like it's a deliberate thing, whereas the bombing thing, you know, Punisher calls him a coward.
Well, Punisher never kills anybody who isn't essentially a killer or is responsible for the deaths of other people.
Even
in that first episode, the three guys that he kills, they weren't necessarily murderers, but that's only because he didn't let them become murderers. They were absolutely going to murder that kid, and they were going to murder him too.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you, you're dead.
Yeah. The kid playing Wilson was amazing. Like, I thought that he had so much just raw, like, you just felt everything. Like, he just looked, it was great. How did it hold up comics-wise, do you guys think?
there were so many references and
yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Thematic. It's...
it's one of the purest distillations of one of the Marvel characters that they've done so far. Ooh. They didn't really need to stray very far from the source material to get at the things that make Punisher compelling, despite the fact that he's an absolutely despicable human being. Mm-hmm. And it would have been so easy to fuck this up, but yeah. They were very...
they fucked up the Punisher plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the first time they've tried.
Dude, that Tom Jane movie where he doesn't punish people, where he just ties them up and talks to them. Like what the fuck? Like, why'd you do it? You don't care. You're the Punisher.
Well, and the comics have fucked him up, too. Need I remind you of Avenging Angel Punisher? Or my particular favorite, I actually kind of enjoyed this, was Marvel Universal Monsters Punisher, where he comes back from the from dead
Frankenstein
as Frankenstein.
Frankencastle.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Or, I mean...
which doesn't even make sense, because it's Frankenstein's monster, you stupid people. Damn it.
The monsters.
The Punisher versus Archie.
Oh yeah, that happened too.
Oh, God.
It's really easy to make the Punisher either you can make someone that should be viewed suspiciously and suspectly, and when you feel like super attached or emotionally in agreement with Frank Castle, that should make you a little nervous. It's easy to romanticize that in the comics. It's also easy to go the other way with it and make it super cartoony.
And goofy.
And goofy.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to give it the gravity that it should have as a serious thing, but also have someone that is a wanton murderer be a sympathetic character.
Yeah, because he's not a mustache twirler. There's a lot of nuance here. He's not he's not a villain, but he's a bad man.
He's not even an anti-hero.
No.
I would hesitate to say anti-hero.
It's hard to define him because, you know, he is, in the end, killing people that are murderers.
Yeah.
And that's not how the justice system works. That's not how the justice system should work. There's always, even no matter how careful he is, there is the potential for collateral damage.
Yep.
And
we're all against the death penalty. I can't in good conscience say that what he's doing is good. But at the same time, you are rooting for him during the show.
These people, you feel like some of these people can be redeemed. I mean, maybe not CIA dude that he puts out Agent Orange that he puts out the eyes of. Clearly, he's not really redeemable.
That was a real hard to watch sequence.
Can we talk about the violence in this show? Because there were times. I am a person who I like violent stuff. It doesn't bother me. I tend to laugh when things are super violent. Like I laugh the whole way through John Wick just because it's so. It's so much
over
but
the
like,
top, yeah.
But that I couldn't watch the entirety of him putting his thumbs in the eye, like killing.
I literally had to look away for a second.
The camera
on that.
Lingered on that for a long
time. There was so
time.
Much where it was like I am like it was so visceral. The sound in this show was incredible.
Or the number of times the audio dropped out and someone put a thumb inside of a wound.
Oh.
I gotta wonder if I assume it's on purpose because. It is so easy to watch shows like this, to watch this character and to see, like, Agent Orange is despicable.
Mm-hmm.
When Frank gets to the point that he's going to kill this guy, you're like, good.
Oh, yeah.
Take him down. And then what they do by going that extra mile in terms of the violence, in terms of when Frank is putting his thumbs
into that
dude's eyes is kind of... take you out of that moment of going, good, I've been waiting to watch this guy die and go, did I really want to watch him die like this?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We were saying about villains earlier. Billy Russo is a phenomenal villain in this show. He is handsome and slick and clever and it seems like a
talented.
Step ahead, charming, talented. Yeah. Like he's not some rich kid who stumbled into this money. He earned it. He built this company up. He seems like a good guy.
And Frank could have been him.
Yeah. Yep.
Could have ended up in the same place.
Yep. And it's really interesting because he kind of is doing what Frank's doing in a way. It's just that his code is money. He's for hire. He has killers for hire, whereas Frank is killer. He kills for his own personal code reasons, and so they really are kind of doing the same thing. It's just that Frank's doing all the work himself, as opposed to contractors.
And Billy doesn't care who he kills.
Mm-hmm. No, he's clearly he hints at having some pretty shitty childhood stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That sequence with his mother.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's
insane. That's fucked up.
Yeah. When he's just, because you realize like how fucked up she must have really done a number on him for the
it
way that he
reminds me of the mother didn't, stuff in BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the trouble is that it's not that she did a number to him. She just gave him up. He was abandoned to the system, and there's no telling that he knew her at all until he tracked her down.
But the way he acts, then, it seems like she must have. It must not have just been gave him up, but maybe like lost him.
You don't know.
Yeah.
It could be his narrative.
True.
He abandons her like as revenge abandonment. Mm-hmm. Like it's brutal.
In the worst place. He has all this money, but he puts her in the worst place money can buy.
It's so bad.
And that's interesting, Tim, that it's his narrative. That's a really strong theme in The Punisher is you're seeing everyone has their own narrative. And so everyone in this story thinks that they're the hero. Madani thinks that she's the hero for trying to hunt down Frank and bring him to justice and show everyone he's alive.
Or the Kandahar stuff.
Yep, mm-hmm. Or the Kandahar stuff. Russo thinks that he's the hero because he's, the contractor who's going to shut down the threats to what he considers to be keeping the peace with his whatever or his military contracts. Frank obviously thinks he's the hero.
Micro thinks he's
the hero by leaving his family behind and abandoning them.
I was actually going to argue. I think Frank is well aware he's not the hero.
He knows that what he's doing is important and good, and therefore his narrative is his narrative isn't I'm a piece of shit, so I should kill myself. His narrative is I'm a piece of shit, but I have to get this done. People are counting on me. Maybe hero is a word that I'm applying. Protagonist, let's say. Like, most important character. Mm, yeah. Like, and the Wilson kid, too, thinks that he's the most important character, that what he needs to do. Yeah.
Do you, yes, I want to talk about Micro and the Punisher as a duo through the, just real quick.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like,
they were great.
It worked so much better than it ever did in the comics. Like they,
for real.
They, the comics, Microchip has always been sort of a one-note character. I think he was created in like 1987, and he served the purpose as being like his A-team gadget man for a while. Yeah, and
everyone
and,
needs a guy in a chair.
And for years, that's all he was. He was just a guy in a chair. And then there was some interesting stuff that happened to him in what was it like the Brubaker run or what did they?
Where they? It's a little bit more intelligence, cyber warfare type stuff, which is a little more interesting and a little more like a modern CIA type spy shit.
Yeah, and then he got killed, and then he came back from the dead and became a villain and whatever horrible. Nonsense that was going on there. But like this was a lot more nuanced. It was more interesting. They were partners, but at one time enemies. And that slow motion car crash that was Frank's relationship with his wife.
Watching his family through those cameras.
Oh my gosh.
Was just so fucked up and great.
I got to tell you that the hardest thing when watching this show for me, and obviously we're spoiling things, but I was watching this show and I was like, fuck, he's going to lose this surrogate family too, and that's just going to push him off the edge.
Oh, Frank,
and I was sure that family was going to die.
I was really glad she was going to lose her shit when she found out her husband was alive and watching them this whole time and not.
Well, Frank told him never tell her that.
Yep.
I thought Frank was going to stab that kid.
Oh, man. When Frank sits down with his fucking scared straight speech with the knife and like you want to know what it's like to kill a man like and shit like that, like it's like Jesus.
That shit was so fucking
it was really
out of
good.
Control.
But that kid too was great. That's how a kid would react to his dad being taken away and all this stuff. And
I thought the initial getting to know you period between the Punisher and Micro was a little like it got a little long. Where it was like, all right, I know
it was like a whole episode.
Work together,
yeah.
Come on, but having Micro like tied up in the chair and the syringe, the gun underneath, and all that, like
the code that has to be typed in every hour or whatever.
I really liked that all on paper quite a bit, and it had good payoff in the end, especially like the syringe and the gun underneath and the code. All that did. And even though their relationship starts off so antagonistically, eventually you get scenes where Micro is getting shit-faced and talking about how, like, well, if you're gonna fuck my wife, there's a huge challenge ahead for you, because I got a huge
dick. And then he shows it. You wanna see it? I'm gonna take it out. I'm gonna show you this dick.
Like there was, like, straight-up really dark buddy comedy stuff happening with them.
Oh, and I feel like that was the most human moment that they had between the two of them. Like, they had a lot of really important moments, but that one right there just really got to the core of who Micro was as a character in this, because in the end, he wound up forgiving Frank because he knew how hard it was for everyone to be in that situation.
Yeah, it really well done. I know we got to get to five questions, but I kind of, because, you know, Mark, you're our Marvel expert, and Nick, you are as well. I feel like we ought to do a couple of things just to do some, like, character stuff. Like, for instance, Punisher is not a title I've ever read. So I was not aware that Billy Russo had a, you know, like a supervillain.
Jigsaw.
Yeah, so.
Who has fucked up face.
We ought to address that. I feel like we should bring that up before we do five questions.
You mean when Punisher smashes Billy Russo's face into the mirrors of a carousel over and over and over? Thing that you can tell he knows he's good looking, and that's a big
and
important
it's one
thing.
Of his tools, his weapons.
Yeah.
And he's clearly not dead, and he's might not, come back.
Yeah. Well, they said they didn't know if he would have brain damage,
brain
or memory
function,
loss.
Yeah.
Here's my guess: is he's not going to remember much, but he's going to remember that he hates Frank Castle,
In various incarnations, Jigsaw is kind of a. Sometimes he's like Batman's villain Zaz, where he's just like a mindless killer guy, gonna kill people. But usually, he's a violent criminal who's fairly indiscriminate about
people. I mean, he was originally kind of originally created as like a Dick Tracy villain, basically, wasn't he?
Totally.
He was just sort of like the arch criminal who wasn't, and he was a mook who was just very good at killing people with a fucked up face as his distinguishing characteristic.
Tombstone. And then just one more thing. So next up, okay, so Punisher's down. 2 months from now in March, we get Jessica Jones season 2.
I'm so ready for Jessica Jones.
And then later this year, we get Daredevil season 3, which is the trial of the Kingpin, and it's set to be based on a really excellent Daredevil story. We'll probably
he's with the nuns, maybe his mom.
A lot of born again stuff, probably.
It's born again, straight up. Which means we can expect Karen Page.
Yep.
Heavily, hopefully. And then later this year, we'll get Luke Cage season 2, which I don't know anything about except that Misty has her arm.
Yeah, finally.
Yep. And then...
I don't know what that means, but it sounds
cool.
Her
robot arm.
She has a...
Well, I understand. Yeah. I mean, I kind of got that, but I still don't know what that means.
It's like her trademark in the comics. Right.
Yeah, she's just
hire.
Always had like a robot arm.
And then two more. We get another season of Punisher. Don't know when. And then we get another season of Iron Fist.
Really? They managed to come up with a reason to do that, did they?
They did.
I think
it had already been like written and maybe was in production when they kind of just plow ahead.
They help themselves a lot with the Defenders, but they still have a long way to go to make that character much more tolerable than he is.
I don't think there's any doubt in anyone at Netflix's mind that it was the weakest and a bit of a failure, especially in comparison.
Yeah. Well, they've got Google, so.
It wasn't just the weakest. It was shitty.
In my
opinion.
It was poorly constructed. Yeah. The combat was so slow, and you could tell by when they got to the Defenders, they were like, okay, we need to re-edit all of this kung fu shit because we can't have you looking like the slowest man in a Tai Chi class.
Yeah.
Fucking David Carradine bullshit.
I'm hoping they're going to get...
That is a great analogy, by the way. The slowest man in a Tai Chi class. I like that.
They're going to get, for season 2, they probably got new fight choreographers, maybe new directors, new editors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't get a new Iron Fist, but that's a lot of time for him to train in between.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So we want to know what you thought about Punisher. Leave a comment on Facebook or at geeksofthegod.com. We're going to move on to five questions.
Five questions.
So because we've had Mark on a lot, we are each going to ask a question. Kind of
he already asked us questions.
Of each other.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start with Mark so that he has to ask two questions because we like to make our guests work.
I only thought of one question, so I'm going to work really hard. But all right, this one's going to have a little weight to it, but I trust that all of you can come up with something last minute. All right. I would like you to recast a character or characters from a beloved TV series or movie and explain who and why.
Ooh. Son of a bitch.
Ooh. For like a reboot or for...
In a property that exists exactly the same way as it is now, except for one character that you would like to see be played by somebody else.
Okay.
Oh boy. This is going to be super funny, though.
I'm thinking.
You guys go first. You need to go first because I've got an answer, except I don't have an actor.
Okay.
Oh, weird. So not an answer at all.
Yeah.
Let me think. Okay.
You got it?
I got it. All right. So it's no secret that Molly and I are really big fans of a cartoon that is not super well known but should be called Frisky Dingo.
Yes.
It's kind of what happened between C-Lab 2021 and Archer, which most people are familiar with Archer, I would say. But it is, in every way, the predecessor to Archer.
Uh-huh.
It is the proto-Archer show, and I would say that it is more surreal and more enjoyable. It's funnier than Archer is.
It's sillier.
It's much sillier and more irreverent. I would love to see Archer, but with the Xander Cruz instead of John Benjamin.
Oh, the guy who played, because they look the same.
Right, it's the same fucking character.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the same way that, like, James Bond and Tony Stark are kind of, like, cut from the same cloth as pastiche. Like, they're rich, handsome, white guys who get the ladies and are womenizing. I would love to, I would hear that. I would.
All right, I got mine.
I think it would make Archer a sillier, more so.
I would like to see Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, everything Wilson from Hard Candy, and he was just in something else we watched. I can't remember, but that's who I want. I think he'd be an amazing. Even with Kubrick Wilson was in it instead of Jack Nicholson, I think he'd do a much better job of being Jack Torrance.
Fuck Stifler's Mom movie, whatever.
I don't think so.
Wasn't that him as a kid?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
So.
I decided to stick with the theme that we have. So I'm going to recast Iron Fist. Who I'm going with? Age is not appropriate, but just assume that this is a younger version. I would cast Iron Fist as Donnie Yen. Comic idea that it was a white dude, and Donnie Yen kicks ass. So I think more Donnie Yen and everything.
Donnie M would be a really good choice for
Donnie. I feel like if they just made the character Iron Fist like mixed race, like his mother had been Chinese or Korean or something. I realize that Donnie Yen is not mixed race, but nonetheless, it just that I think would have seriously helped.
How great would it be for Iron Fist season 2 if Shang-Chi shows up with his no dragon powers, just hard work and talent, chi martial arts powers.
And it's better.
And
I mean, it would be satisfying, but also in line with the comics completely.
I'd be so
shoehorn in a little bit of Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be a good tactic. Right. What's your answer, right, Mark? Who would you recast?
I'd put a little thought into it, and I was going to go with the cop out answer of Iron Fist as well, but I didn't come up with a really satisfying answer for who I thought it would be.
I win the question.
You do win the question. So.
All right. So I have a question for you guys then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Question two here is going to be, so of all the, as we've said, there are the six Netflix shows right now. We'll call it The Defenders as one of them, right? Okay. So if you can only watch one, you can't watch the others anymore. Going forward, we'll say.
Damn.
And I'll say that you can't rewatch either.
Yeah.
So going forward, you have to pick one, and that's the only one you can watch. And the only, you'll get crossover, obviously. It's not like you have to shut your eyes when the Punisher comes on the screen for Daredevil or something, but you can only pick one.
Daredevil.
You watch Daredevil?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep. It's been the most consistent as far as the shows go.
Yeah.
I fucking love Daredevil. Like, yeah. On our shelves at home, we have more Daredevil comics on the shelf than anything else.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. There's so much good writing from solid quality writers to pull mm-hmm. from. There's so many great storylines and characters. The character himself is, he has powers, but it's never anything that requires cheesy effects or like a big budget to show, but he can be supernatural or more than.
Well, and his power is that he can see while being blind.
It's
so
perfect.
Everything else that he does is through force of will.
Right. It's a good TV budget power.
All right.
And plus, I mean, it's going to be what we're going to see the most D'Onofrio Fisk in.
Sure.
Which he is a standout for
Holy
Netflix
shit,
for me.
He is so good.
Like, I'm so excited for more of him.
Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought Thor from the Babysitter's Club would, or not Babysitter's, Adventures in Babysitting would go so far in life.
I'd be really sad to not see any, especially like That's Jessica fair. Jones, mm-hmm. but I, yeah. it's Daredevil.
All right. Anyone else? What's next?
I would definitely say Daredevil as well. For basically all the reasons that Nick enumerated, there's just too much quality material out there. But even if there wasn't, he's the character that's got the most... There's more to his arc as exists in canon that leaves room outside of the comic books to explore.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Jones exists and as a fantastic character, but she's got one trajectory. Daredevil could go in many different directions and has, and while you can do them poorly as sometimes they have been in the comics, in the end, with a little bit more care and attention, like something like a Netflix show that produces a season once every year as opposed to a monthly comic book, you can do those types of stories with the gentle hand needed to keep the character interesting for a significant amount of time.
So, while those are all fine arguments, I'm going to be contrary. Even though I think there are flaws to the show, I would pick Luke Cage. And a lot of that is for the social issues that are addressed in Luke Cage and that continue to be addressed through Luke Cage that I don't know can be addressed as effectively with Daredevil or any of the other shows. So, that's my call.
I'm going to go Jessica Jones because I think that, well, for one, she's my favorite of all the characters so far that we've seen. I identify her with her strongly. I like her a lot, but I think that she has, her show in general has, there's so much there that they could get into / invent. We own significantly more Daredevil, but we own everything Jessica Jones has ever been, that's ever been published with her. Like, we own all of Alias. We own all of her current run. There's not as much, but...
We don't own The Pulse.
Okay.
But she's in a couple of...
Well, actually...
I'll find those floppies for you. I'll dig them out of a box.
I'm just saying, she, to me, is just... She is a really great character because she's broken in ways that I think make a lot of sense, and she doesn't... Like, she doesn't really know... why she's got her powers and stuff. She doesn't have some divine purpose like Daredevil thinks he does and stuff like that. I feel like her floundering and her lack of purpose is something that I find very interesting. All right.
So my question, it is if, and this is DC Marvel, even DC Marvel, if you could be one superhero, who a superhero that exists. You can't make up your own superhero.
Okay.
But if you could live the life of one superhero, which one would you pick?
Mm-hmm.
Savage Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Who's Savage Dragon?
Image.
Probably the first, like, Image character in a lot of ways. Like, created by Larson. Ken? Is it Ken Larson? I can't really remember right now.
I've read so little Savage Dragon, but...
To be perfectly honest, I haven't read much of it since, like, the 90s. But in a lot of ways, it's all the... All of the Kirkman stuff is now set in that same universe. I think they've gone and bound it all together, or in the Skybound universe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it's Image's Marvel equivalent universe has just a lot of color to it and manages to be comic booky and fun while still being modern.
It's the same universe as Invincible.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And all the other things that Kirkman was doing.
Invincible guy whose name I can't remember.
Yeah, and Brit.
Brit, that's
And
God, Brit. That's That's what I'd pick.
Yeah, and it's an interesting world, but Savage Dragon in general, just he's a cool guy. He's got problems, but, you know, he was a cop. That's problematic. But
he's green and he's got a big fin, like a reptilian kind of fin on his head, and Savage Dragon fucks.
Yeah, he does. He represents everything that Image was trying to say. Okay. No, Marvel, let me do this.
All right. Nick, what do you think?
Be the character?
Yeah.
Does that mean all the bad shit that's happened to them?
Yeah.
You gotta take the bad with the good.
Oh, man. Because I don't want to, like, experience the Holocaust, but, like, being Magneto would be super cool.
Yeah.
What about Dr. Doom? He didn't have to experience the Holocaust.
Yeah, I don't want to be Dr. Doom. That's so much work. It sounds so awful to be, like, in charge of the world or to be so gifted that you should be the person in charge of the world.
You could delegate more.
Yeah. Dr. Doom doesn't delegate.
He makes robots that do the work for him.
See, there you go. That's delegating.
Robots that are exact copies of himself. Yeah. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's not really delegating.
Yeah.
You know, boy, I don't know. Come back to me. Molly, do you
what?
Have,
come do back to you? Fuck you. All right. I guess I will... I will go with Carolina Dean from The Runaways.
Nice.
Because she is, we're not sure what, I think she was a celestial, not a celestial, what are they? They have another name. It's kind of like that.
Majestic.
Majestics.
Yeah.
She's in Runaways.
Majestia, whatever
they are. She's in Runaways. She's got beautiful light powers and can fly and see, like, yes, she's got shitty home life or whatever, but she has friends and that's the best I can do without having some more time to think about it. Because, like, as much as I like Jessica Jones, I don't really feel like being a self-hating alcoholic. Oh, no, I know who I would be. I would like to be Death. From the Sandman Pantheon.
Oh.
There you go.
I think that would be good. She's got a good outlook on life. She doesn't have, like, desire was a thought too, but I don't really feel like having to deal with people that much. So I think that Death gets to, you know, be the last thing someone sees, and it would be nice to be able to give people comfort in that last moment. And so I would be Death.
All right.
Okay.
I got mine. Spider-Man. All right. Peter Parker.
Peter Parker, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is pretty fucking awesome.
All right.
I think it would be fun, I think. Even the hard things and the difficult things you'd have to deal with and balancing the power and responsibility of real life and super life, I think, I don't know. I think, goddamn, wouldn't it be fun to be young in Spider-Man?
But Spider-Man fucking loves being Spider-Man.
It's true. He does love being Spider-Man.
Like when he's out there just swinging through the city, it's just, there's joy in that experience. So
yeah.
I get it. I'm going to pick... Captain America, mostly because
you Nazi. Sorry, Captain America.
Nick Spencer,
We're done. We won't call you a Nazi anymore.
mostly because he's been around a long time, so you know, I would be able to experience a great many things that I have not experienced. Also,
like killing Nazis.
Yeah, like killing Nazis.
Like legitimately,
I could punch a Nazi in the face and nobody would judge me for it.
You would get to hit Hitler in the face like 1,000 times over the course of those few years in the USO.
Yeah. I don't know though. Do you get to experience that? The longer the character has been around, the less time he's actually been unfrozen. Like that, he's only ever been like unfrozen for like 10 years at any one time.
And the other thing is, you get a badass shield, and I'm really into that. So, Nick, your turn, I think.
All right, yeah, this will fit into the way we're going with these.
All right.
So, if you could pick one show or one comic, Marvel, to add to the Netflix canon.
Damn you, that was the next one that I was going to pull.
I thought Molly was going to say it too. If you could add one Marvel comic or character to give their own Netflix series that would tie in or exist appropriately or in the right amount, who or what would that property be?
All right, so, I got this. Yeah, yeah. Hands down.
I will also accept if it is YA or like young adult, that it would be on Hulu.
Sure.
All right. So one of the Anvil mercenaries that we barely got to see after all the company gets dissolved and whatnot, gets hired by another company, goes to Egypt, gets trapped in a tomb with his shitty partner, makes friends with a moon god from Egypt.
Khonshu.
Goes back to New York, makes friends with an ex-French special agent who's very gay, and flies him around in a moon-shaped helicopter all the time. Moon! Moon Knight.
Because like Batman, I mean, a Batman kind of pastiche.
Yeah, Batman, but knows he's crazy.
Also, right. That's the thing is, like, there could be some really interesting mental illness explorations in that show about mm-hmm. Is he schizophrenic? Is he just schizophrenic? Is it both? Like, there's a lot going on there.
Is it MPD? Or yep, is it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So mine is, I would have said Runaways up until this year when we have Runaways and it's
holy
great.
Shit, it's
and
good.
It's so good. If you guys aren't watching Runaways, we will do an episode
finale,
about it soon. You
season
need to,
finale
you need to watch
this
it.
Week.
But what
right,
I was...
Fuck, I got to start watching it.
You
right.
do, because it's so good. What
I've
I would
been
say,
saving it.
I would say Emma Frost. I would love to see a show with Emma Frost. I think it would be great if we did it like a YA style, like her Digest books
yeah.
were.
Yeah.
Young Emma Frost coming into her mutant powers, getting shunned by the other rich society girls that she yeah. knows, realizing that this life is no longer for her. She's never going to just get to be a pretty rich girl and just float through life anymore. Now she has to actually live a difficult life. Turning to the, with Magneto and the, what's
Brotherhood
the
of Evil
the Brotherhood
mutants.
Of Evil mm-hmm. mutants and like having that could
Hellfire.
Be, that could
yeah.
be like the Hellfire Club could be season two. Like there's
the
a whole bunch.
The show ends with her joining the Hellfire Club.
Right?
Like yeah.
Yeah. There could be a lot that they could explore there and I think that'd be really fun. I think that she's one
she
of the more.
She eventually joins the X-Men.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's
she eventually
one of the,
leads the X-Men.
I find her to be one of the more complex mutants out
sure.
there because
yeah.
I think that her history is so amazing and checkered and deep and I think that she gets passed off as having huge fur-lined tits with a pretty face a lot in the comics.
Or just a cold bitch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep. And the her when she gets her secondary mutation
yeah,
of the diamond
Grant,
skin,
that Grant Morrison
really
run,
fucks
yeah.
her up.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I think she'd be great.
The stuff with her and Scott.
Yeah. Yep.
Cyclops
mm-hmm.
is one, some of my favorite
yep.
X-Men storylines.
Yeah. Yep.
Their psychic affair.
When she gets
is
that
so. Good.
When she
yeah.
gets that bit of the taint or whatever inside her,
whatever
that she,
oh
century.
Yeah,
she has
yep.
to go into diamond mode forever because
yeah.
she can't. Otherwise, it'll go into her blood and it'll turn her bad
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. This is a tough one for me because I'm not as much of a comics reader as the other folks here, but I think a character that I would be fascinated to see a series about would be the Black Cat. Which is like a Spider-Man anti-hero character.
Yeah.
yeah.
She's the Kingpin right now.
Is she really?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. See, that would be
yeah.
fascinating as well. So, anyway, that's my answer.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
yeah. Heist
plus,
book.
Plus women of color, you know, like, isn't she black?
No, she's
white.
Very, very
is
white.
She?
Yeah.
Very, she's super white.
Yeah.
Am I thinking of someone else who wears a cat mask?
I mean, you could be thinking of the TV Batman Catwoman.
No, I'm not. Anyway,
I don't know.
All right.
God damn it. I'm going to say Moon Knight. Too, just because
yeah.
I think it would fit.
Well, I was gonna say Moon Knight.
Oh, it's because it fits with the Marvel Knights.
Yeah,
and I feel
yep.
like that's what Netflix is more than anything else is Marvel Knights with a K. They're kind of rated R superhero imprint before.
Well, they
the
were
Max.
Rated PG-13
yeah,
before
yeah.
that. Yeah,
the Max stuff. Mm-hmm. Marvel like Punisher Max. I Moon Knight would. I feel like they've done. I would be hesitant to say Moon Knight. If they haven't dealt with things like PTSD and the Punisher so
and
well.
Mental illness.
And Jessica Jones's yeah. baggage and her fucked up shit and her alcoholism mm-hmm. and
her rage
to
issues.
To a far, far lesser degree, Danny Rand's inconsistent weakness and odd imbalances in his childhood
mm-hmm.
upbringing that
mm-hmm.
don't really make any sense. But I'd be really hesitant to say Moon Knight if not for the fact that I have some hope that they could
yeah.
mm-hmm. find a way
yeah.
to do the character in a way that is not offensive and is pleasing and makes sense.
Mark Spector, come
yeah.
to screen. Yeah.
I'd be into
awesome.
It.
Mark Spector, if that's the name he really goes
right.
by.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who knows?
All right, last question, Mark.
All right, so reversing this a little bit, what Marvel property would you never like to see
Ooh.
Made into a movie or a TV show?
I
know that's challenging for you.
we gotta go quick. Where are the
What's
too precious?
What's too precious? Well, see, that's different. Like,
well, what do you think that they won't be able to accomplish?
I think that I don't think they'll ever be able to do the X-Men well. I think there's too much baggage. from previous X-Men stuff at this point. I think that if they
adding
tried...
Adding it would be weird.
I think adding to it would be weird. I don't think they'll ever be able to do... like the way that they... Or at least if they do, they'd have to take a whole different tack, and I don't know how it would go. So I don't think I'd ever... I'm not really interested in seeing any more X-Men stories. I'd love to see some more mutants and to see mutants brought back and those stories, but not the X-Men. No one cares about Xavier's School for Gifted Students anymore.
Part of me wants to say Galactus, just because it'd be a little...
I thought about that as well.
I don't think there's a way they could do it that wouldn't be too goofy,
Silver
but I...
Dark Cloud?
I'd love for them to prove me wrong.
Sure.
So instead... oh, shit, I just had it and I just forgot it. Sentry.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I love Brian Michael Bendis, and he's a Bendis creation from...
He's not, though.
He's not?
No, he was Paul Jenkins.
It'd be hard for them to show the power of 1,000 exploding suns without it being
cheesy.
He's
fucking Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Superman pastiche.
And Superman loves it.
he's so clearly a Superman pastiche, and the he's comic booky in a way that is not typically Marvel, where Marvel characters are like real people that deal with real problems who are also superheroes, kind of. He's I don't know. It's such a DC thing to me that I liked it in the Marvel comics just fine, and I liked it when they brought him back, and I liked him in Dark Avengers.
Well, get ready for him to come back again.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I'm good without the Sentry ever.
I guess I'm gonna go with She-Hulk. I don't feel like they could do it without it being super exploitative.
Yeah.
And so
like it'd be two single female lawyer like that. Yeah.
You know what? I'm changing my answer to my own question. I want She-Hulk to join Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Because that Dan Slott run was amazing.
I don't know.
Do it like Ally McBeal courtroom drama.
Yeah, but
like where it's very little superheroing and break the fourth wall
a bunch.
I just
think that I worry that, I'm with Tim, I think I worry there'd be so much of it that would be like, but you're a girl Hulk. Like,
yeah.
So there's a chance if they got a female director maybe.
Yeah,
sure.
Female writers.
I think you could do She-Hulk well. I just don't think.
You don't want to see it.
I don't think they could do it. I don't think. I think it's possible, but I don't think it's probable. So I think maybe they shouldn't even bother.
Nick?
Hey.
Nick already answered. Yeah. Mark, what's your answer?
The worst excesses of the 90s, I think, are completely distilled in the Onslaught stories.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by Heroes Reborn. Mm. And I do not want any of that material covered. If for no other reason, Heroes Reborn, I think, is the crux of this for me, because I don't want to see them just reboot the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I want them to just continue on or stop.
We just talked about that the other day.
Yeah. If they reboot it, I'm out. I'm for real. I'm fucking out.
You'll still get my money, but I'll be very angry.
I don't know if they'd get my money.
You'll angry pay.
Dude, they rebooted Marvel Comics not that long ago, and we cut a lot of our stuff when they started doing that. There were a lot of titles.
Technically, Marvel has never been rebooted.
Okay, but they did a weird soft reboot of a lot of
Post-Infinity, they consolidated some stuff.
And we dropped out a lot of books because it got less interesting.
Well, they led into fucking Shattered Empire.
They've never done anything quite as bad as DC for a lot of these things, but at the same time, like, they pulled some Joe Quesada One More Day bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And
retconny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, those are our five questions for today. If you have answers to those questions, we'd love to see you post them.
Yeah.
If you have answers to our regular five questions, send them in to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. If you're a Patreon supporter, we'll bump you to the top of the very short list.
Super short. There's only like one left.
Two.
Isn't there? Two.
There are two people
left
on the list.
Send us your answers. Come on. It doesn't take but a minute. And people love to tell their opinions on the internet. And a podcast is on the internet. I don't see how this is a problem. we'd also love to hear what you have to say about The Punisher and Marvel Netflix in general. Mark, thanks for coming back and being our guest again.
Thanks for having me.
And otherwise, we're Geeks Without God, and we'll be back on the internet with more next week. My favorite part was when he punished that guy.
Yeah, mine too.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And
you can follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
And we're done.